It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
They call my plan Bidenomics. Guess what?
It's working.
I will say that there have been so many accomplishments under this administration, it can be difficult to list them in a distilled way.
I do not hate anyone. So I say this gently. The Biden administration sucks.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
I am going to miss Senator Kennedy on, you know, some of those lines because we're getting dangerously close to having to replace those opens, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon. How are we doing on this Halloween in St. Louis where it never fails? So the weather could be perfect, and then on Halloween it's rainy and gloomy. I had the tornado sirens that went off last night in my
neighborhood.
Yeah,
I didn't have them.
It was not. So I was very asleep, and all of a sudden the sirens go off, and we're all in the basement and trying to fall asleep, and then Alexa spills my lemonade that I had next to me when I was watching the World Series last night. It's literally dripping on my blanket and on my leg, and I just had no energy to even do anything about it until I woke up. So I didn't know
that's a cute story.
I didn't know the storms were. It's actually Crystal Light, so not sticky.
All right, that's
Crystal
good.
Light that's strawberry good. Lemonade, Sue. But I didn't know the storms that were coming through were potentially large enough to set off tornado sirens, but man, that thing went off for a long time, at least where I am in the Fenton area, and we didn't get a whole lot of sleep. But the other thing that happened was, Sue, I didn't have power for like 7 hours.
7 hours? You lose power more than anybody I know.
Right?
Mine was out for like an hour. It was flashing, you know, the kind where your clocks go flash. What's yours, Fred?
Ours were fine.
Well,
what did I
had that
you,
for a little
Fred,
while.
What did I tell you? Because I don't think it even came on until after 11 o'clock. I left the house just a little bit this morning. But then, I'm paralyzed. I was telling Fred, I couldn't even take a shower. Luckily for you, I did. Because
shoot.
I have a hot water heater that's electric. So it wasn't getting any hot water. All right. So yesterday, as we were wrapping up the show, we got a lot of stuff to get to here today. I'm going to outline it and tell you where we're going. We got some audio that we want to share. But I thought this was interesting, Sue, because as we were kind of wrapping up the show, Dwayne Patterson was on from hotair.com, and we were having a great conversation, very optimistic about the potential results for next week. And then he said, and we have a little breaking news right now. Trump is in this trash truck up in Green Bay. And I look on Twitter, and this thing's starting to get out there on the X, formerly Twitter. And we even played the clip for audio cut of the day. Then the story, you know, kind of develops because he's at the rally in Green Bay. And one of the best things about him, we're going to play some of the audio about how this thing came together. He wore the vest at
yes.
the rally. And there's an explanation for that.
The explanation made me laugh out loud.
I know. And it will make people laugh out loud. And we'll get to that here in a second. But realistically, I think maybe our morning show might have taken off on this. But if you were hard up for a Halloween costume today, you could have done a few things, right? You could have just thrown a garbage bag over yourself and said you're a Trump voter. You could just wear a suit, you know, like a nice white shirt.
Maybe even with
a tie, put one of those orange
vests
around your construction vest, and you're going to just do fine, right?
Yeah.
So maybe people are getting creative along those lines. Look, I even said, I'm not trying to be too morbid, but you could also do something where you put a big, in honor of Tim Walz, you could put a tampon on your ear for where you're bleeding if you were a victim of the assassination attempt. Come on, Sue, that's kind of clever. He lived.
Just,
it's not like he died or anything.
Really, though?
We used to get creative like that in St. Louis in the West End. I've talked about that. No one gets creative
in the West End. I'm
anymore.
Sure they do it there.
What was it last year? Was it Travis Kelce
outfits. People would dress up as...
because of T-Swifty last. Well, that's probably true.
The whole tampon the ear thing, I think somebody... some people who are not up to date would just be like, what is happening?
Well, okay, it doesn't have to be a tampon. I'm just saying, you know, if you put some blood in like some gauze on your ear. I was just thinking of Tim Walz. That's all. I thought we'd do that in honor of Tim Walz.
It's a double
whammy. Right, exactly. Or you could just go out there and dress like Tim Walz, the biggest goofball in politics. And one thing I do want to say before we get into some of this audio about Trump, just a sad note today. And Sue, I haven't shared this with you. I mentioned hot air, and you might remember this, and maybe the audience says, the last couple of times we've had our friend Jazz Shaw from Hot Air on the air, he did not sound very good. I even told Fred, I said, I'm worried about Jazz. He passed away today, unfortunately, at the age of 65.
Sorry.
And it's just horrible. The news started getting out on Twitter from folks, and I reached out to David Strom, who's another editor at Hot Air, and he said, how did you find this out? Ed is trying to keep this quiet. Ed Morrissey, who's been in politics, he's now the guy that runs Hot Air. Hot Air was originally started by Michelle Malkin, who was a big pundit many years ago. She spun that, and Ed and the gang have been running it. It's a great resource for me. It's a really good conservative site. It's not very fancy or anything. They just basically have a bunch of contributors who post on a daily basis. And Jazz was one of them. And, you know, Jazz became kind of our go-to UFO expert because he was into that. So when we had political stories, he was a New York guy. We would certainly tap into him, but also on some of the weird stuff. And he was great, and we loved having his contribution. They lost Karen Townsend as another contributor. We had Karen on the air maybe one time. I didn't know her very well. She passed away.
Jeez.
And, you know, Buzz Hollander a couple years ago, Fred, another great contributor. Yeah. So just, I don't like that at all. On the other side of the circle of life, I just posted a pretty cute picture of my grandson and my bunny on the X, formerly Twitter. I did like a little pairing because they both have their Halloween costumes.
Hard
right
to
now.
Say which you like better, frankly.
No, it's the grandson, yes. But the bunny's pretty cute.
Right.
And he has a little Halloween flair today as well. All right, so let's get to, well, let me tell you what's coming up. Carl Cannon's coming up from Real Clear. The situation in St. Charles is kind of interesting. St. Charles County with voting, and Kurt Barr is the Republican elections director. He's going to join us. We have, look, Sue, we are, you know, not only are we very, very proud of the contributors that we have on the show on a regular basis, but some of them, as you might have been tracking, have vaulted into superstardom. But guess what?
No way. You
Jennings
found
is
Jennings?
On. We found Jennings. We found him. The fans have demanded Jennings. He's on at 5:07 as long as he doesn't get called into service on CNN. And then this is something
he's
else.
He's crazy busy.
Right? I know he is. And I'm worried about him. I'm genuinely worried about him as a friend because there's a lot of stress involved here. And you know, there's not all the people even that he works with. It's not just the audience that is targeting Scott. It's the people that he works with at CNN that are kind of giving him a lot of grief. And there's people that are demanding that he's not on that set. But as he's told me before, the management has his back. But, you know, one of my other friends, and I started in radio, this guy was literally, I think, one of my interns at the time, Dan O'Donnell, who is an midday host at WISN, which is one of our competitors. Dan was so dumb that he went to law school, got his law degree, and then decided to be a talk show host. How ridiculous is that? But he's been great up there, and he's kind of been our go-to guy on, you know, some of the big stories up there, certainly the Kyle Rittenhouse story down in Kenosha. But with the trash truck thing, Dana and Bill Hemmer had O'Donnell on this morning, so he's going to come up in the next hour, but we got a little flavor of that. I mean, I'm going to work on really kind of popping the ego bubble on both these guys. Listen to what Perino said. So we got Scott Jennings. Oh, that's not it here. Hold on here. Where is the one? We just labeled it O'Donnell? Or did we not have that in there?
Try Dan O'Donnell.
Okay, let's see here, Fred. I might have just pressed the wrong thing, so I apologize for that. Here it is.
Dan O'Donnell, I feel like I need to have you on speed dial for Election Day. Thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on, and have fun at the rallies.
Oh, I will. Thank you so much, Dana.
Take care, Dan.
It's like 1.5 speed, isn't it?
He is at 1.5 speed. So O'Donnell, because Wisconsin, a very important state, he's going to come up here in the next hour. Chris Smith's going to join us for just a little bit. Chris is my friend who was shot a few years ago right before Thanksgiving. His story, which is called Fatal First Date, will be on 48 Hours on
Sunday.
Saturday night.
Saturday. Thank
night
you. I'm
going to
write that
2nd.
Down.
And Aaron Moriarty is going to share that story tomorrow with us on the show. I am told that I will be featured just a little bit. They sent me, Paula Russo, who's the producer of 48 Hours, sent me a clip, and I forgot. I just remembered that I had gotten the clip the first segment of the show. But, you know, they always kind of build the stories. It's a terrible story, terribly tragic, because Leslie Reeves, the woman that Chris was with on this first date, was assassinated by her, you know,
An ex-boyfriend
who put a tracker sticker on her car and then, you know, busted into Chris's home, shot him in the head. He laid there on the floor Thanksgiving morning with his dog next to him and was in a coma for a couple of months and finally came out of it. And here's the other thing about Chris is interesting. He's got this amazing, I guess you'd call it, it's alternative medicine. It's not something that's approved by the FDA, but it is a treatment that he's going to undergo in Chicago in a couple of weeks that's very promising for getting his legs to work again because he's still semi-paralyzed. But he'll give us some details on that in just a little bit. Let's go to the trash truck, though, here. I think a lot of people saw what happened. We don't have to worry about the audio from trash, but what I like is just the explanation that he gave last night because this was pretty good. And if you haven't heard how this all kind of came together...
I'm in this beautiful plane. I'm enjoying myself. I have a wonderful suit on. And one of my people came in and said, "Sir, you know, the word garbage is the hottest thing right now."
One of the things I love is he always tells these stories and always says, "Sir," when he's relating the stories. And if you notice, he said, "I have my suit on," right? That becomes a big part of the story.
Out there. The hottest thing out there, sir. Would you like to drive a garbage truck? Now, we're about, you know, 30 minutes from landing. We had to do this pretty quick. I said, "It's sort of cool, though, isn't it? Because, you know." And I said, "You know, I think that's okay. But, you know, I don't feel comfortable wearing a suit." And they pulled up this garbage truck. I don't know how the hell they did it so fast. I have very capable people. They put a big sign on the truck. Did you see it? I think they showed it. And then they said... "Sir, we have a vest." I said, "Well, should I leave my suit on and put it over the vest? But that doesn't look very good, right? That doesn't look good." So I said, "All right, look, let me take it off."
So then, you know, when he's telling this story, and he's going to explain the whole vest aspect, he is wearing the vest the whole time.
Yes.
At the rally.
I got in the car, and I'm driving over here, and I have this still on. And I come into the arena, and I say, "Where's my jacket? I want to get out of this thing." And they said, "It would be unbelievable if you could wear it on stage." I said, and I said, "No way. I got 25,000 people standing outside. I got all these people here. There's no way I'm wearing it on stage." They said, "Oh, okay, sir." I said, "Get me my jacket. But if you did, you know, it actually makes you look thinner." I said, and they got me. I said, "I want to wear it on stage."
Oh, yeah, there you go.
When they said I look thinner, I said, "In that case, I'll wear it on stage. I may never wear a blue jacket again." Yeah. I may go.
I mean, it's really stunning to me how much he sounds like Hitler in these cuts, right? Sounds just like Hitler. Sounds like he's ready to put people in some ovens or something like that.
I climbed into the truck, but here's the... So I said, "How the hell do you get into this truck? It's way up high. It's a big one. This was a beauty." I said, "You didn't have to buy it that big, right? You have to get it that big." They brought this brand new, gorgeous truck, wonderful driver. He looked like Cary Grant in his prime. You know that? This beautiful driver. And he drove that big thing up.
He's kind of weaving here.
Said, "Man, this is bad, because now I have all the cameras are all watching. Look at all the fake news. They were most of them."
Listen to that.
"No, most of them. Many of them were there," and I'm saying, "Oh boy, you know, one little mistake with these guys and your political career is over. You can't even." So I said, "Man, if I don't get up there, this is going to be very embarrassing. These stupid people, they'll say, he's cognitively and physically impaired. And I can't do that when I'm alongside of this great athlete. I got to get up to that."
So Brett Favre was there.
Yeah. The first stair is like up here. I'm saying, so I had the adrenaline going, and I made it.
I mean, that is...
I mean, come on. It's so... It was brilliant.
Now, Fred knows this because we've talked about this for almost 10 years. There's two Trumps, right? There's teleprompter Trump, which has kind of been a little wearing on me. And if you go to the rallies, you're going to hear somewhat of the same speech. But when he weaves, you know, he's weaving outside of the teleprompter. But that was just... amazing. And the retail politics between McDonald's and this were really brilliant. I don't think you can come up with a better way to close leading up to this election. I really don't. And Carl Cannon, who's one of the best reporters in Washington, is likely to agree with that when he joins us here in a couple of minutes. You know, you kind of fold this into Rogan. Everything's kind of fallen into place. We're hearing really good stuff about J.D. Vance with Rogan. I want to hear some clips of that because he sat down with Joe. But you know who's not sitting down with Joe Rogan? Kamala.
You could look at this and you say, oh, you're being a diva. But she had an opportunity to come here when she was in Texas. And I literally gave them an open invitation. I said, anytime. I said, if she's done at 10 o'clock, we'll come here at 10 o'clock. Mm. I'll do it at 9 in the morning. I'll do it at 10 p.m. I'll do it at midnight. She's up. She wants to, you know, drink a Red Bull.
I mean, he could not have been more accommodating, and they chickened out. You know, they were trying to put conditions. At this point, I don't think it would help her. I think if she would have done it a few weeks ago, maybe even before Trump, that could have been something with his audience, with young men in particular. Maybe it would have shifted some votes. But I thought that was interesting. It's been a real interesting 24 hours. But we're going to get to a lot of different things this afternoon. Carl Cannon coming up, an update from St. Charles. We'll have Sue's news. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I feel like we're getting so close to Tuesday, and especially since I voted yesterday, I feel like the moment is already here, and you got all kinds of confusing polling that continues to come out from some of these swing states. I mentioned Dan O'Donnell up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a very important state. He's going to join us at 425 on 97.1 FM Talk. We'll get into some of that. Pennsylvania has very confused. Look, there's a few polls in, I would say, in Wisconsin, Michigan, and in Pennsylvania that certainly look like outliers. You have CNN polls that are giving Harris a 5-point lead in Michigan, maybe with a 6-point lead. And then the Quinnipiac poll that was released yesterday in Pennsylvania actually kind of flips things in the other direction, where they've had, in Quinnipiac, one of the bigger polling units out there, they've surveyed Pennsylvania 4 times in less than 3 months. So in mid-September, they had Harris up 5 over the majority mark, 51-46. 3 weeks ago, Harris still led by 2. And that matches up if you look at the Real Clear Politics average, which we kind of refer to, you aggregate the polls in Pennsylvania. She peaked at +1 in mid-September. If we're really being honest, that's probably the last time that she had really some good moments in the campaign, right after the debate with Trump. But she's been sliding in Pennsylvania ever since that moment. And she's, you know, when it comes to Trump, when it comes to the level of support, she's dropping. On September 20th, Harris had a 48.5% average in the aggregation. But then 1 month later, it dropped to 47.1%. And then it comes back to 47.6%. Now, that sounds like, you know, we're talking about tenths of a point, et cetera. It doesn't sound like a lot. But in states where these margins are going to be decided by just a few thousand votes, that's pretty serious. Now, what's driving that right now? That's the gender gap. So men back Trump 57-37%. Women back Harris 55-39%. In the October 9th poll, men back Trump, this is Quinnipiac too, men back Trump 52-41%. Women backed Harris 55-40%. So I don't think that those of you listening to those numbers will be able to crunch him this quick, but basically it comes down to this. Trump went from +11 with men to +20, and the split among women remained pretty much the same. Now, you can try to extrapolate from that. What I can say is that's looking pretty good for Donald Trump in Pennsylvania. Now, we don't know if the polling's accurate, right? But when I just look at all of these states right now and compare them to 2016 or 2020, she's going to need, look, even to win the popular vote, I'm not so sure she still won't win the popular vote. But to do that, she kind of has to win the race by 2.5-3 points. I don't think she's going to win by 2.5 or 3 points. So that raises all kinds of questions. But we'll get into it. We'll dig into the numbers here when we continue. I think Carl Cannon, we're having trouble getting him on the phone. Do we have Kurt right now? Kurt Barr, who is the elections director for St. Charles County, is with us this afternoon for some updates. My producer, Ethan, just said that his wife is trying to vote right now in long lines. Kurt, I know we've had some challenges out there. You don't have a lot of polling places, and one of the reasons is because you don't have enough poll workers. Is that true? Oh, let me pop them on there. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks for having me on. Having enough staff to be able to manage multiple locations is one of the considerations that we had. So I'm already working with the county to help us to get an extra supervisor level person to help manage more satellite locations. But the main reason why we stuck with our two locations that we started with when the 2 weeks of voting early began was that until this election, the two locations were underutilized. So what we had done is in 2020, the high water mark was 2,600 voters. And so we said, okay, let's assume the high water mark every day for 2 weeks, and let's staff and plan for that.
Right.
And that seemed like a reasonable thing since, the last 2 years we've had very anemic voting in the early voting period. Well, something happened between the August election and November election where the public became very much aware of this process, and they decided to heavily utilize the early voting period. We've been working to address the situation, at the satellite location at Element Church. We, increased our staffing there, increased our resources there, increased our ability to process people more quickly. We also went ahead and opened up that polling place for the Monday before the election. We haven't used it the Monday before the election previously, but we are going to this Monday have that place open. And then, of course, the Election Authority Office, we've worked a lot to relieve the traffic congestion issue that we've had here because we do have a small parking lot. So we have a shuttle bus that's been incredibly successful in ferrying voters from the crossing at Mid Rivers Church, which is just 5 minutes away from our building, to here and then back so that we can reduce the number of cars trying to turn into our area. And then we, of course, have a team of parking attendants who are just moving cars in and out in a safe manner so that everybody has a chance to get in here safely and to be able to vote. And we've seen here an average wait time of about 30 minutes at the Election Authority Office. I haven't reached out to my satellite location, but
that's
yesterday,
not too bad, right?
The average time was about... No, it really isn't. Yesterday, the average wait time at the satellite location was an hour.
Well, that matches up with St. Louis County. Look, I waited 70 minutes all in, yesterday. Basically 65 in line. Took me 5 to vote. I came in armed and ready and prepared. So that's not too far off. Now, what can you explain, because I'm not exactly, Kurt, dialed into some of the legal issues that have been raised here by some of the Republican committee men. What is this about?
All right. So we have a process in law for the parties to have watchers and challengers at the polling place on election day. So a challenger is somebody who can watch the process of the voting, watch the voters get checked in, watch the election judges hand the ballots, and watch that whole process. The watcher is somebody who can observe the counting of the ballot and the counting of the absentee ballots at the Election Authority Office. And historically, we have always understood it because the law says, on election day, that these two positions are for election day. Well, this election, we had one member of the Republican Central Committee say, hey, I want to be a challenger at the two early vote site locations. And we said, well, that's not how we understand the law, and we can't allow that. We did allow him to be a watcher on election day because, he is a registered voter in St. Charles County. He has the right to do that. And there was some conversation. I'm like, well, here's how we have always interpreted the law. Here's how legal has advised us to interpret the law. And so we can't do anything else. And they decided that, the best course of action was to then, go to the court and ask for a redress of grievance so that we would, allow them to be a watcher. But in the redress, they said no voting can occur until we get our way, which not a very good look on their part.
I would agree with you on that because that's just going to cause more headaches for people who are trying to stand in these lines and vote, right? Now, you have a hearing tomorrow to determine what happens next?
So that order was vacated by the judge that will hear the case tomorrow. So that order saying, hey, you can't be open, that order's been vacated. But we are going to go before the judge tomorrow. And the question is, here is our longstanding understanding that this challenger position is an election day only position. And the Republican Central Committee is saying it should be for early voting. And I don't disagree. whether or not it, you know, it should be for early voting. I'm just saying that's not what the law says.
Okay.
And so, you know, if the judge says no, you know, the law is more broad than our understanding, then we'll comply with the judge's order and allow them, you know, to be a challenger at the early vote site. But of course, we'll then reach out to the other party and say, hey, since the rules changed midstream, if you want somebody here as well to represent your side, you know, you can appoint somebody to be here as well. Because that's one of the things is, you know, we want both sides of the equation to have, you know, a chance for equal representation in the whole process of the election.
So bottom line here, as we get into the final few days, if you're in St. Charles County and you want to vote, you're trying to make sure that there's traffic accommodations and you're getting people through the lines. And as far as, I want to make sure I'm not missing any of this, as far as more locations, will that or will that not happen before Tuesday?
Before Tuesday, no. We've expanded our operations at the locations that we have. But Tuesday, you know, St. Charles County, we have 104 different polling places. We have 1,000 election judges ready to go to help the voters. So, you know, there's going to be plenty of opportunity for voters to get in and cast their ballot on Election Day if they don't have an opportunity to come in here either today, tomorrow, Friday, or Monday at the Election Authority office, or tomorrow or Monday at the satellite location.
Kurt, I saw like an estimate maybe 70,000 people would vote before Tuesday. Is that a pretty sound number at this point, do you think?
We are averaging over 5,000 people a day, and it looks like we are going to hit that number. Now, that number is crazy because that's how many people voted in the August election in St. Charles County.
That's a lot of people.
We will start Election Day November at a higher percentage, higher number of voters than we finished the August election.
And then my follow-up question to that would be, so then, I know this is maybe hard to pin down, but then how many total people would be expected to vote in this election?
So I still think that totally we'll have about 75% or roughly 225,000 voters. And originally I was estimating 25,000 early and then 200,000 election day. But now if we have nearly 70,000 election day, we're looking at more like 150,000 early. And that's roughly what we saw in 2020 because we had a 30% early vote rate with all of the by-mail voting that occurred in 2020 because of COVID. And so it looks like we're going to have similar numbers of early and you know, election day as we saw in 2020 in St. Charles County.
Okay, Kurt Barr, thank you. Keep us posted on everything that's happening there.
Will do. Thank you, Mark.
We appreciate it. That's crazy. Those numbers are very impressive. You know, a lot of people wanted to resist the early voting. That's not happening. I heard from Rick Stream yesterday. You know, I think he was on the air with us yesterday after the show. Let me see what he said, because his numbers in St. Louis County are really impressive as well. He gave me some updated numbers. He said, we had another record-breaking day. 21,000 people voted yesterday in St. Louis County. So, you know, there's probably another 20 that are doing that today, which is fascinating.
Oh, I'm sure.
Now, how this, you know, I think we got a lot of people here in our area that are very enthusiastic about voting. We're hearing that that's happening in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, these other states as well. So fascinating stuff from both St. Charles County and St. Louis County. Unfortunately, we did not get Mr. Cannon on. We had some communication issues. We'll see if we can sort those out. But we'll take a break. We're coming back with more. Don't forget, Sue's News After 4, Dan O'Donnell from Milwaukee at 425. Scott Jennings, the legendary Scott Jennings, the rock star on CNN. He comes up at 507. All right, hey, tomorrow is Friday, and it happens to be the last Friday before the election. That means the final Reardon Roundtable will be before next Tuesday. On the panel, Jane Duker, former state senator John Lapping, and John's going to join me on election night with all the coverage. We've done this for the past couple of elections, so I'm very much looking forward to it. And we have a huge, huge lineup of people who are going to contribute. John Hancock, who is doing some stuff on KMOX, Brad Young will join us, Jane Duker, Mike Elam from the Kehoe campaign, State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman, State Senator Nick Schroer, the St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman, Consultant David Barklage, our friend Scott Fawn from Jeff City, former State Senator Jeff Smith, and also Roundtable veteran State Rep Steve Butts, Greg Keller, who is a GOP consultant, all of those and more chiming in as we take you through the evening on Tuesday, no matter how long that might be. With us this afternoon to preview the final days, Carl Cannon, Washington Bureau Chief for Real Clear Politics. Carl, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, pal. It's been a pretty hectic week, and next week's going to be worse.
I know. So let me start with the garbage truck, because that one kind of came out of nowhere when we were wrapping up the show yesterday. Of course, was talking a lot about the comment from the president, which was dominating the news cycle. And then Trump gets in this garbage truck. I just played all the audio from his explanation in Green Bay. But that you can't really close much better than this, Carl, can you?
He's a showman, isn't he, Mark? He knows how to turn lemons into lemonade. You had this, they had this unfortunate gaffe with this warm-up comedian who Trump never met, who spoke hours before him, used that dumb Puerto Rico joke. And then the mainstream media spent more time talking about that than they did both assassination attempts combined.
I think you're right.
But who rode to the rescue? Joe Biden. Joe Biden took Trump off the hook with his dumb remark about
calling supporters
garbage, and half the country was triggered. And they thought, okay, I guess Obama said I was clinging to guns and religion. Hillary called me an irredeemable deplorable, and now Biden says I'm garbage. I'm beginning to see a pattern here.
Absolutely. Now, what impact that might have on the race in these final days, that might be unknown. I know that you, when you wrote about this in your morning note today or this week, you basically said, look, and I'm a horse racing guy, right? So I appreciate this. You said in the parlance of the racetrack, this thing's too close to call. It's going to go down to the wire. And everybody has a gut check. I mean, my gut check right now is that things are trending very well for Trump. And I'm seeing polling numbers and Real Clear Politics averages from Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan that are very, very encouraging. On the other hand, we've seen some of these things kind of go off the rails when we make predictions, so it's a little tough right now.
Mark, I wouldn't make a prediction if I were you. I've been avoiding it. And you know what's funny? This may happen to you. You and I do politics all the time. Loved ones, friends come up to me, say to me, hey, come on, like, who's going to win? Like, I know, and we're hiding it from them. And if you get on the Real Clear Politics page and you look at our polling, you know exactly as much as I know. But I will. There's a new CNN poll that has Kamala Harris ahead in Wisconsin and Michigan. So this thing seems like a seesaw to me. It's almost like. But here's the one number that I can't stop thinking about, Mark. In the national head-to-head, Trump leads Kamala Harris. He's at 48.5%. So if he wins the national popular vote, this is going to be an electoral college landslide.
Yes, it will.
Those two numbers don't quite go together. How can he have 48.5% nationally and in Pennsylvania? You know, because California is going to give Kamala Harris her home. That's her home state. They're going to give her between a 4 and 5 million vote cushion. One state, New York, she's going to carry Donald Trump's home state of New York by, a million and a half, 2 million votes. How are they going to make, if Trump makes that up to the rest of the country and pulls even in the popular vote, it seems to me he's going to win all these battleground states.
Well, because if you kind of dial in on these numbers, what I said earlier is if she doesn't win by 2.5 or 3 points in the popular vote, she is going to lose. I mean, she could still lose with a 2.5 point, national popular vote total. Still, she could still lose in the electoral vote. But if it's that close, yeah, I'd have a hard time believing that he's not going to win Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, and the West Coast states as well. Now, one of the things that I'm kind of dialing in on, and we're seeing these trends sort of maybe manifest into something real, is the black men and Hispanic men who, again, might not be pulling that trigger for Trump, but they're not pulling the trigger for Harris right now. And we're seeing some of those numbers come out of Pennsylvania and some of these states. That seems significant to me, Carl.
Well, the Latino vote especially. Look, if Latino men, if he gets almost half a Latino vote or 40, George W. Bush got between 40 and 45%, so did Ronald Reagan. I mean, that's going to help them. But that's the one answer to answer perhaps to the riddle of how he's even in the national popular vote, but also even in these swing states. Two things. One, you've got these groups, African Americans and Latinos and Asians, young people who are these demographic groups who are not going to vote overwhelmingly for the Democrat the way they have in the past three elections. If that's true, then you start to see the popular vote in California and New York is not as big as I said it was going to be. And then the other thing is during COVID and normal migration patterns. How many New Yorkers have moved to North Carolina? Trump carried that state by, I want to say, just off the top of my head, 3 points in 2016. He carried it by 1.5 points last time. Well, you see, that's not maybe enough New Yorkers and, moved down there to the Research Triangle and something that he pulls out North Carolina, that she pulls out North Carolina. So the other thing is, how many of these red state people or have moved into blue state people moved into red states and brought their political attitudes with them, which is frustrating because, they moved to Texas from California because they don't want to pay taxes, but then they vote for the kind of politicians who are going to raise their taxes. But we can have that discussion some other time.
Yeah, that's baffling, but it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you, you know, I don't know if there's a good answer to what the Senate landscape is looking right now, because there still are some weird anomalies with that, certainly in Arizona and Nevada. But you're going to have people that are going to vote for maybe Democrat Senate candidates in some of these states. And I don't know if that is going to be the deciding factor in Pennsylvania. But I had Selena Zito on yesterday. And look, I think that as Trump goes, maybe is what McCormick ends up doing, or vice versa in Pennsylvania. But these races are going to be very close. Not so close maybe in Nevada and Arizona with those Senate candidates.
We don't have as many ticket splitters in this country as we used to. I was thinking about this. The first campaign I remember, Mark, was in 1980 in California. Ronald Reagan's on the ballot. He wins, you know, handily. He wins California's, where he had been governor twice, you know, by a million votes. But Alan Cranston, one of the most liberal Democrats in the Senate, was on the ballot, and he won by like 800,000 votes the same day. He had all these hundreds of thousands of ticket splitters. People don't do that anymore. You know, when I was a kid, people say, I vote for the man, not the party. Well, now they pretty much vote for the party, which is not necessarily good for the Democrats in these, you know, in these states where these Senate races, because if you're voting for Trump in Michigan, why aren't you also, it's an open Senate seat, why aren't you also voting for the Republican? So to me, I agree with Selena, and she knows Pennsylvania really well. I think if Trump carries these states, the Senate races may go Democratic too. And excuse me, Republican. And also, remember that they've already got trouble because John Tester's going to not.
Well, he's going to lose.
Been ahead.
Yeah, in Montana,
we haven't been
right.
in a single poll. He's yeah. down 4 or 5 points, and that's not a landslide, but he hasn't been in any poll we've had since he got the nomination. And that's so. And West Virginia is gone. So that's two seats right there. Now, the Democrats say that they can win in Texas and Florida. Yeah, maybe. If it's a big night for Harris and this thing all breaks her way, yeah, maybe. But it seems equally likely.
I mean, see, the Texas thing, I was just down in Houston, and there were, we're not in a swing state right now, so I was seeing ads that I had not seen, the abortion issue, very big, Colin Allred ads, Ted Cruz ads, very nasty, but it's hard for me to believe that if that state goes red, that Colin Allred is going to win that Senate race.
Well, if you think Colin Allred's going to win?
No, I don't. That's my point.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? The Democrats think someday they'll carry Texas, and someday they will, but it probably won't be this year. It's not going to be this year in the president's race. And Allred, look, if you're John Cornyn or John Thune or one of these Republicans who wants to be the next Senate Majority Leader, you don't need Ted Cruz to win by 5 points. You need him to win by 1 point or half a point.
Yep, you just need the majority. One final question. I don't have a lot of time here, but I just feel like heads are going to explode next week if Trump wins, not only for a good portion of the American people who have Trump derangement syndrome, but our friends in the media who have had interesting reactions. I don't know what your thoughts are on the Jeff Bezos op-ed, but I'm concerned for some of my friends on the other side, Carl. I will say that.
Yeah, I grew up in the mainstream media, and I still have so many friends there, and I've subscribed to the Washington Post for decades. My head won't explode. I would urge people to get a grip, you know, and the other side,
the
too.
Republic the will survive,
side,
right?
Well, I think so. And I wrote this earlier this week, you know, yes, the losing side has to accept that they lost, but the winning side shouldn't overinterpret their mandate. If we have a close election, we need some adults in the room after this is over.
Well, good luck with that. I mean, that might be a little hard.
Hope springs eternal, my friend.
I know. Well, look, we're going to know soon enough, hopefully. Carl Cannon, thank you for all the contributions here the past few months. It's finally getting down to maybe some results. Again, they may not happen on Tuesday, but hopefully a week from now we're going to know something. But enjoy the last final days here, Carl. We'll talk again soon.
Happy Halloween,
all right,
my friend.
Take care. That's Carl Cannon from Real Clear Politics. We're going to get into Wisconsin in particular. My friend Dan O'Donnell at WISN Radio will join us after Sue's News coming up. Scott Jennings at 5:07.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.